why did you end up with a $1 million loss? And they're looking at another couple $100,000 this year so far.
Yeah. We've struggled to break even the entire time I've been with a hospital. It's a difficult thing in a hospital our size to try to operate with the kind of efficiency that will allow you to break even. But in the last, 4 years, we've had some significant loss years, and it's been different causes each year. 1 year it was an increase in our employee benefits. There were a couple of years when we had a real disappointment in our patient census. 1 year it was in long-term care census.
And when you say census, you mean the number of patients?
The number of patients that actually come through our doors, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the previous year, last year, 2007, was just an awful year in terms of what the government doesn't pay us for the services that they buy. We call those contractual deductions or government write-offs. And our government write-offs increased from 2006, which was a $600,000 level, to $1.6 million in 2007. So we had a $1 million increase in what the government doesn't pay us for the services that they buy.
And these are services for people who can't afford to pay Medicaid, Medicare, is that, or people covered by Medicaid, Medicare?
Some of it is bad debts, but it's largely Medicaid and Medicare.
So were you able to cover last year's loss with reserves?
The $1 million that we lost last year was a $1 million loss on operations, but we did have a pretty good year in the stock market, and we do have some invested reserves. So about half of that loss was made up for by interest income on our reserve funds. The other $500,000 we have to make up out of our reserves, and typically we've been borrowing on a line of credit to meet our creditors in that regard.
The legislature approved for Petersburg anyway, and some other hospitals too, but for Petersburg's amount was about $500,000 to help cover the cost of PERS, I think, for some past years, public employee retirement. That's been a big issue for you guys?
It has. It's been a significant part of why our employee benefits have increased the way they have. We're paying three times the amount now for employee benefits that we paid 4 years ago.
For the same benefits, basically.
For the same benefits, and that's largely been a proportionment of what we pay for PERS. But the legislature this year did kind of settle the issue on PERS. They passed a law that puts all of the municipalities at the same rate. And in the process, they determined that some municipalities had overpaid. And so the hospital gets, I think it's a $576,000 one-time repayment for what we have paid out in the past. So that will also, when and if that comes about, significantly help our cash flow situation right now.
As part of a way to deal with this, the hospital board just approved an increase in rates. Tell me about what that would mean for patients.
We're currently working on our budget for the next fiscal year, and typically with that budget, we come out with some kind of a rate increase between 3% and 4% or 5%. We asked the board if we could implement that rate increase a little bit early this year, because even when a rate increase is put into effect, it takes some time before money is collected from insurance companies and so forth. So the board approved at their last meeting a 5% rate increase, which would normally go into effect July 1st, and in this case it goes into effect May 1st.
And is that generally across the board for all different services, doctor visits, whatever?
I think it'll be primarily across the board, yes.
What other ideas are you looking at?
We made recommendations to the board at the last meeting. We offered 9 ideas that we thought would significantly improve our bottom line. They ranged all the way from decreasing our use of locums and travelers. Those are the
visiting physicians.
Traveling physicians and nurses who fill in for vacancies that we have, through getting more information on how we could predict and control our government write-offs, through increasing the hours at the clinic, or at least increasing the throughput of the clinic so that we can see more visits in the clinic. And we talked about decreasing our health insurance costs. Like every other employer, we have to pay for health insurance as well, and our insurance premiums have been going up in the neighborhood of 18 to last year, we saw a 30% increase in our health insurance costs. This year, we've been told that our increase will be in the neighborhood of 21-23%. So we're looking at ways to decrease what we pay out for employee health as well.
How serious is the situation for the long term of the hospital and the clinic? Do you see major cutbacks or staff reductions or things like that on the horizon as a result of this, of last year's loss and the additional losses this year?
Well, I think it's a serious issue. It's been an ongoing issue over the past several years, and it's something that we definitely need to address. We're not looking at cutbacks as a way to deal with this. In many situations, we're staffed at minimum staffing anyway. It's one of those things you deal with when you have a small facility like we do. But we're clearly taking this seriously. We have looked into a number of ways that we could either decrease our expenses or increase the amount of revenue that we collect. There are some communities, in fact, most communities in Alaska rely on their local government for tax subsidies or support to the hospital. And we've talked about that may eventually be something that we need to discuss with the city, but it's not anything that we're talking about as an urgent or a right now situation. We're mainly looking at what we can do to sharpen our own pencil first.